Well, we're really packing it all in today, you guys. We're having a whole bunch of significant moments in the life of a Christian, celebrating them here this morning with Madison's baptism, and we're getting ready for the confirmation of these 10 young Christians sitting up here in the front pews. And it's a day where we say, yes, I believe, a lot. You guys have already said that a couple times during the rite of baptism. And we're going to say it a couple more times today. What we believe. That's what today is about. And we're going to become pretty familiar with that portion of Scripture that we read from 1 Peter. And I think a lot of the themes that Peter picks up on are really appropriate for a day like today. A day where we say, yes, I believe. Peter is writing to a bunch of Gentile Christians. They're scattered throughout these pagan lands, like places like Bithynia and Cappadocia, places that are not the nation of Israel, right? And these Christians have come to say, yes, I believe in the God of the Scriptures, the true one God. And now that they're Christians, they don't quite fit in the same way they used to, with their buddies, with the people at school, with the people in their community. They're a little bit different now. And so Peter writes this letter to, once again, assure them of the faith that they have said, yes, I believe to, and to encourage them and to say, yeah, you who have been given faith, you might be a little distinct or different than those who say, no, I don't believe. And so that's what we're going to do. We're going to walk through this text, and I love how it begins with his reminder, his affirmation of what they believe. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. And here's where it gets good. He says, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ, sprinkled with his blood, grace and peace be yours. This is the God that these once pagans now say, yes, I believe in the God of the Father who knows me, who chose me. I believe in the Spirit who sanctifies me, and I believe in God the Son who spilt his blood for me. So, in honor of Confirmation Sunday, in honor of this day where we're celebrating baptism, this day where we're saying, yes, I believe a lot, I want to give you all a chance to confirm again your faith, just like these young Christians are going to do here in just a minute. So, I'll ask you, do you believe in God the Father who knows you and who chose you? Then say, yes, I believe.
Yes, yes I believe.
Awesome. Do you believe in God, the Spirit, who sanctifies you and who delivers to you the benefit of what Jesus did on the cross? Then say, yes, I believe.
Yes,
I believe. Awesome. Do you believe in God, the Son, who shed his blood for you and gives you his victory over sin, death, and the devil? Then say, yes, I believe.
Yes,
I believe. Praise God. Amen. I'm glad to hear you all say that. So now, here's the deal. The rest of Peter's letter, he's saying, okay, you guys all said, yes, I believe. You young confirmands here in a few minutes, you're all going to stand up and show your lovely faces to the congregation. You're all going to say, here's what I believe. Peter's going to say, all right. Now, you also ought to be distinct. Now you might not fit in. Now there should be a difference between you and everybody else who says, no, I don't believe. And the three things that we're going to pick up on that he talks about, he says, if you say, yes, I believe, you resist evil, you pray, and you love. Pretty simple, right? He doesn't make it too complicated for us, okay? So we're just going to quickly walk through Peter's text here and see what he has to say about these three points. He goes on, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, or that is before you believed. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. There it is. Right to the point. Resist evil. Do not conform to the evil desires you had before you believed. And I really like how simple Peter makes it seem. He doesn't give us any examples. He doesn't go into what's evil and what's not evil. He just assumes, you guys know that the Lord has given you a conscience. He's given you instruction through his word. Resist evil. Don't do those evil things you used to do, right? He's not trying to make it too complicated for us here today. So I want to ask you guys, what was the first thing that came into your head? I'm going to ask you to speak a lot during this sermon, okay? So just be ready for it. I'm warning you. What was the first thing that came to your head? What are the evil things that we ought to be resisting? Anybody? Anybody?
Lust.
Lust. Right off the bat. Lust. Greed. Yeah, greed. Anything else?
Hate.
Hate. Yeah. Anything else? These are good.
Jealousy.
Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else?
Anger.
Yeah. You guys have some good answers here. Anybody else want to say something? We have lust, greed, anger, jealousy. Yeah, Abby?
Stealing.
Yeah. Yeah. See, we know these things, right? We learned them in the Ten Commandments, right? We were listening a lot of the Ten Commandments out there. Peter just kind of lays it out. God has given you a conscience. He's given you his instruction through his word. Resist those evil things. And a lot of those things you guys mentioned, some of them are external pressures to conform to what other people are doing. Some of them are internal. Our own lust, our own selfishness, to think more highly of ourselves than we should. And Peter says, even if it makes you look a little bit weird, even if you can't, you know, participate in the same things you used to participate in, if you can't tell the same jokes, hang out with the same buddies, you're a Christian now. You said, yes, I believe. And a Christian resists evil. Plain and simple. Let's see what he says about prayer. He keeps going. He says, since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Man, some good stuff in there about the redeeming blood of Jesus. But notice how he starts this whole thought. Remember, we're talking about prayer, right? He just assumes. He makes an assumption. Since you call on God the Father, right? He just assumes that they do that. You talk to God. You guys say, yes, I believe in God the Father. So as Christians, you talk to him. You pray. That's what Christians do, right? Even if it makes you look a little bit weird. And I just think about like a Gentile Christian that he's talking to, who used to participate in all these like probably wild pagan rituals, who participated in this whole religious system where you basically were trying to manipulate the gods in order to do what you wanted them to do. And now they're just talking to God, to the God of creation. And they believe that God actually hears them and God actually wants to hear them. And God actually answers them. That was probably so weird for the rest of their people in their community. And that's what we're called to do. Christians pray, even if it looks kind of weird. If you're just shopping in the middle of the supermarket and you stop and there's something to pray about and you close your eyes and you say a quick prayer, mumble a few words, and somebody's like, what the heck is that person doing? That's okay. Christians pray. Even if it doesn't make sense to people. Me and my wife, Ren, we just finished watching the show The Miniature Wife. I don't know if anybody's seen that. It's on Peacock. It's The guy who plays Mr. Darcy from Pride and Prejudice, he's this like kind of mad scientist who shrinks his wife. And he's working on the formula to get her back to regular size. And he has this moment where he's about to have this big breakthrough. And he's talking about how every scientist has this day that they've been dreaming of. They've been working so hard for. Sometimes they even pray for it. And whenever he mentions prayer, he says to the side, even though there's no statistical evidence that prayer actually works. And I don't know. I've never seen any studies about prayer. But even if everybody thinks it's silly, we come to God with all things because we believe that God first commands us to do so, right? And he hears us and he listens to us. That's what Christians do. Christians, they resist what's evil and they pray. Pretty simple, right? All right, let's not get bogged down too much. Let's keep going. He continues, through him, that is through Jesus, you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him, so your faith and hope are in God. Oh, that's awesome. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. Notice here again, you guys, he doesn't give us any details or examples. The Apostle Paul, whenever he writes his letters and talks about love, he says, here's what love looks like. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love endures, right? Here he just says, guys, just love one another, right? Don't complicate things. Love people. Love each other. Love each other deeply. That ought to define you as a Christian, somebody who says, yes, I believe. You love. And so once again, I'll ask you to fill in the gaps a little bit, okay? What does it look like to love somebody? It's the first thing that comes into your head. What does it look like to show love to somebody? Yeah.
Trust.
Trust, that's good. Trust people. Show kindness. It's good. Love as Jesus loved us. That's a good answer. Sacrificially, right? Mm-hmm. Forgiving people. Did I see another hand over here? Huh?
Compassion.
Compassion, yeah. It's good. You guys, we're Christians. We're called to resist evil, to pray, and to love people. We're called to put other people's needs before our own. You confirmation kids, I shouldn't call you kids. You confirmands. You're about to say, yes, I believe. You're about to confirm this faith. And Peter, through the inspiration of the Spirit, is saying, okay. You're a Christian. You say, yes, I believe. So you resist evil. You pray and you love. All right, guys, here's the problem. I believe. I said, yes, I believe. Whenever Pastor Matt was going through the rite of baptism, whenever we're reading through the Apostles' Creed. But there are definitely moments in my life, maybe even now sometimes, if somebody were to follow me around for the day, if somebody could look into my mind and see what I'm thinking, if somebody could hear all the things I'm saying, there would be some times when I don't look all that different from somebody who says, no, I don't believe. What about you guys? You guys all said, yes, I believe. What if I ask you a different set of questions? What if I ask you, does anybody resist evil perfectly? Say, yes, I do. Anybody? Okay. I wasn't prepared for somebody to say yes to that, so I'm glad that went that way. Does anybody have a perfect prayer life? Anybody pray perfectly? Say, yes, I do. Do you love perfectly? Say, yes, I do. That's the thing, you guys. We know. It's so simple, right? You guys know. I know. But we fail to live up to this standard. So, what's the problem then? The problem is that I haven't been completely and totally honest with you this whole time, okay? I haven't been lying to you. I just haven't been telling you the whole truth, okay? What makes us different? What distinguishes us from somebody who says, no, I don't believe? It's not how well we do these things. It's not how well we resist evil. It's not how well we pray. It's not how well we love each other. What makes us distinct from the rest of the world who says, no, I don't believe, is the fact that we belong to the God who did these things perfectly for our sake. We belong to the God who resists evil perfectly, who came into the flesh and after his baptism went into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights and endured temptation from the devil. He could have taken all the riches and pleasures of the world. He could have abandoned his rescue mission, but he stayed the course. He resists evil. He could have called down legions of angels to break his shackles whenever the soldiers were carrying him away before the trial, but he didn't. He resisted evil. He could have, with the snap of a finger, brought himself down off the cross, but he didn't. He resisted evil. We have a God who does all these things perfectly. Do you know that Jesus prays perfectly right now? It says that Jesus right now is sitting at the right hand of the Father, mediating between us and the Father, bringing petition after petition to God on our behalf. So for all the times we fail to pray, for all the things that we don't bring before God, for all the things that we don't trust God with, Jesus is praying for us perfectly. And for all the ways that we fail to love, we fail to put other people's needs before our own, God looks at us and he sees our need. He humbles himself and he loves us perfectly, sacrificially. He sheds his blood on the cross. He dies, and 3 days later is risen from the dead to give you the victory, the salvation, the forgiveness of sins that you could never get on your own. We belong to the God who does these things perfectly. That's what distinguishes us. That's what distinguishes you, not how well you do these things. That's what's going to distinguish you guys for the rest of your lives. You guys are all going to say, yes, I believe, to all the questions I'm going to ask you. And for the rest of your lives, you are called to still be distinct, to do our best to do these things well. But throughout all of it, our hope is in the God who's done it for us. So I will encourage you and remind you and challenge you, just like Peter does, that all of us, every breath we take, everything we do, is a confirmation of the faith given to us, a confirmation of the things to which we say. Say it with me. Yes, I believe. Amen. At this time, I want to give you a minute to reflect on the things spoken today, the ways that God might be working through his word. There should be a slip of paper, hopefully they're not running out there, a slip of paper in front of you that says sermon takeaways on it. If you'd like to write something down to go with you, maybe inspire a conversation on the car ride home or around the lunch table today, let's take a minute to reflect on what God is doing among us.